Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Crowd's trying to jump into it, and he struck him out. And look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
Looking at the Red Sox dugout and yelling out as he skips into the dugout. 5-0 Toronto.
That last pitch.
Yep. Big pitch well today. I don't know, man. If he's turning around to his dugout and screaming, I can take it, you know. But when he's turning around to the opposing dugout.
That's tired.
Tired. That's what Eck said, tired. We love Eck. But what the hell is Eck talking about? I mean, Eck, I watched you pitch. I watched some
you were
of the
there
antics
at
you
the
had.
Stadium.
I loved the antics that Eck had.
Let the boys
when,
play.
Remember when he was using the fingers to shoot people and stuff like that? I want the emotion of the game. I mean, Marcus Stroman has pitched well this year, and yet he doesn't have a lot of wins. You know why? He never gets run support. In this game, he's got a 6-0 lead. He's done after six. You bet your ass he's going to celebrate. You know, next time, go score 6 runs against him, and then he won't be able to pull any of those antics.
Yeah, this is funny, because this is the same Stroman that early in the year you heard the cut, right, in the open, when they were, you know, pitching early. Or something
yes,
like that.
Quick
and Chavis, yeah, quick pitching. Yeah. Chavis had an issue with this. Chris Sale had an issue with him. Cora had things. Do you have it real quick, Ryan? Play it.
Yeah, this is Cora about 2 weeks ago.
It's a Stro show. You know, he's on the mound and he has his antics and he gets under people's skins and all of a sudden he pitches 6 innings, you know. I was with the Astros and people from the dugout were screaming at him. I'm with the Red Sox and people from the dugout screaming at him. It's part of it, you know, and I said he competes a certain way. Some people like it and some people don't. But as you guys know, in the media, there's always somebody writing the headline, and those are the ones that get you in trouble.
Well, the one guy that shouldn't have an issue with it is Eckersley. He should not have
no,
an issue
with it. No, because that was Eck as a pitcher.
Like, how hypocritical
and
is that?
He showed his emotions always in tough situations.
There's some video going around of him where it's just it's comical.
Oh, no, he enjoyed it. You know, the thing that upset me the most about that Stroman game is because of the last time they faced him up in Toronto.
The quick pitch.
You know, and
oh,
yeah.
He was a little slow
yesterday.
So, no, but he's, you know, he's popping off, and he's talking to guys in the dugout, and afterwards he's, you know, saying stuff to Alex and Twitter and everything else, and I don't know. I figured next time you face him.
There'd be a little,
I don't know. Ooh. I mean, I just think that
you. A little something.
Put it this way. I don't think that you would, as Alex said, don't show up the day you face this guy, right?
Well, they were and upset, though, from Saturday. They were upset.
This guy.
You know, they were upset. They were sad.
But back to Eckersley, yeah, he's, I don't know, that's not, who knows? I don't know. He's
so
wrong.
So what is Eck doing?
There's nothing wrong with that. Because, I mean, like you said, coming from Eck, it come from other people, whatever, but from Eck, the way he did his thing when
come
he played.
On, come on. Come on, please.
Personally, I think that it's like, you know, Eck is trying to find that balance, given what happened a few years ago. So it's a little Team Red Sox.
Mm.
That's all.
Ooh.
I mean, you hear Remy this year maybe cheering for the guys. Come on, Chavis.
Yep.
Hit a homer. So
yep.
That's what you do. I get it. You know, you see it with the Celtics. You see the Bruins. Everybody.
But it's no change, amigos.
But I think with him, I think he's trying to walk that fine line of, okay.
So let me.
All right. I could still be me at times, but there'll be other times when I need to kind of protect this team.
So let me get this right. So Eck and Remdog are carrying the pom poms. And Pete Abe has gone in the other direction.
Yeah,
he's attacking
all
the team.
Roles.
What is happening in the world?
What planet is this?
I'm just saying, I don't think, I mean, Eck still gives his opinion, you know, on whatever.
He does.
At the same point, I think that there's maybe more of an effort.
See,
to
me,
to
be
I thought that thing was mild yesterday. I thought it was mild. It was a guy who knew that he was done after 6 innings because he's, you know, pounding chest when he gets to the dugout. He knew he was done in the 6th inning. He knew he knows that he's pitched well this year, and he's got very little to show for it because his team absolutely sucks. And he's sitting there, and he's just throwing fists over to the other dugout. I didn't see anything wrong with it.
This is exactly what baseball needs.
Exactly.
Baseball
needs more guys like this.
Stop shaming all these guys for just... Oh, you know, just for playing. What happened to that whole campaign they had? You kind of referenced it a little bit. Let the kids play.
Yeah.
Let the kids play. So what does that mean? Are we just talking about, you know, just chewing, you know, like big league chew instead of real tobacco? Is that what we're going to do? Blow bubbles as you're throwing
a
pitch?
If a Red Sox player, if a Red Sox pitcher did that, we would be sitting here saying, yeah, show that emotion. That's good. You know, you got something out of this game. Made no sense. Here's what pissed me off about Marcus Stroman yesterday. I thought it was going to be a six-hour ball game the way he was pitching. So deliberate and slow. Give me a break.
Yeah. Imagine him and Price on the mound at the same time.
That was painful. Nightmare.
It's. I mean, how many times can you say it? You know, yeah, it's the problem with baseball.
They went to,
That's the problem with baseball, in my mind. Like, it's just, you want to sit down and watch it, and you turn the game on, and you watch one inning of this guy pitching, and it's just, I don't even want to watch
it. Do me a favor here. There was one sequence in between two pitches that went literally 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Put it on in the background while we continue the show, and we'll tell you when it's over, okay? Here it is.
Start. Really slowing everything down here with a couple of base runners.
Just bring it in the background a little bit. We'll continue the show because nobody wants to hear this crap. Yeah,
so this is from beginning. Right, so when the catcher threw him the ball, he's sitting there waiting.
Yes.
And the catcher did not go out to the mound. There was no timeout.
No, the catcher did go to the mound.
Okay, well, then that always happens. That's what you should.
But he was ready to pitch, and there was some confusion on the signs. But 2 minutes and 20 seconds? Okay, baseball can't allow that. All right, okay. You can't allow it because his whole day was really delivered.
Turn them up a little. What are they saying there?
And then a step off and a reload on signs.
This is the most painful part of baseball.
It's not exciting.
Well, the critical act.
You think?
That's why there has been so much talk about a pitch clock.
There you go.
However, you know, if you get late in that pitch clock, you can always step off and it resets.
I mean, look at this. This is the mound visit. Rain delay.
It's pathetic. It's so pathetic that this league did not put a pitch clock.
Such a beautiful day.
Now, Obie's right.
I couldn't do this.
They're not doing it until 2021, right? 2020 run with the new collective bargaining agreement.
They're not doing it until they can use it in negotiation. That's why they took it off the table. You still haven't thrown a pitch?
Hold on. I'm actually falling asleep, and I'm not kidding.
Oh, I did. I wasn't feeling well.
I do not. What do you do?
I don't want to shake, to be honest with you. But this is over and above. So wait,
when he finally threw the pitch, did he actually throw a strike? Was it a foul?
That's a problem now.
Ball two.
It's like a cutter low and away.
In the NHL, they've scored three goals in the same time span.
Nothing is happening.
Okay? NHL. Let's go there. Never otherwise.
What are we waiting for? Soccer. Slider.
Still no pitch. Running around. Still no pitch, huh? Nope.
Minute 45.
Oh, wait,
we still got like 45 more seconds.
What is he doing? Oh, there it is.
Wow, all that for that.
That ball.
Yeah.
Ball two. Yeah, all that for a freaking ball.
That's pathetic.
So that, I had a bigger problem with that than I did. And of course, Stroman is no shrinking violet.
It's been over 2 minutes since there was a pitch in this game.
Right.
So he reacted.
Means nothing has happened for almost 2.5 minutes.
We're waiting. Exactly. So he responded to Eck. He called Eck a clown. He called it trash.
He called him a hypocrite.
Called him a hypocrite. And I can't blame Stroman. I mean, he's got somebody who is a Hall of Famer.
All that stuff is true. I think the one comment he had, too, when he tweeted, said, like, all his comments are trash. I think he tweeted that. All of his comments are trash. To me, that's David Price.
Yes.
That's what that is. The hypocrite stuff, I get it. You know, he's trash, whatever. But when you say his comments are trash, because
one man's trash is another man's treasure.
He's not listening to Dennis Eckersley on games, but he's good friends with David Price.
I was just going
to
bring that up.
And he knows what happened on an airplane.
Yep.
So that's
the connection.
Comment alone
had
more to do with David Price.
I agree.
The hypocrite was, you're right, he is. He's getting on you for celebrating. This is the guy celebrated when he closed games. You're right, you're correct. All his comments are trash? That's because of his boy.
That's tired.
That's because of his buddy. David Price.
Yeah, I think that was directly. That was what I was going to bring up. Apparently, these two are close, Price and Marcus Stroman. And that's where that's coming from. You know, he's had conversations with Price, probably asked him, what the hell is this guy Eckersley? What is he saying
about
you?
Why is he on you all the time? So, why is he being so critical of you? You're awesome.
Right.
And now you're awesome.
Yeah, now suddenly he's critical of Stroman, and Stroman wasn't going to be shy about it. But I'm with you, Christian. I think baseball needs more of this. We need more celebrating. Remember when the NFL a couple years ago wanted to cut out all of the celebrating?
And then they brought him back.
And they brought him back.
You can do anything you want.
Right.
And we're not going to flag you for spiking the ball or doing a dance. We're going to actually encourage it.
Baseball needs more of this.
And then you will see. And just like the NFL, naturally, guys that have that in them will do the bat flip, will point, and there'll be a bunch of guys that won't.
Yeah, but baseball
there'll
is one of those.
There'll be a bunch of teams that don't.
Baseball is one of those games that
Written rule.
Written rule.
Sure. Yeah. There's a million of them.
Oh, my God.
How do they know there's so many of them?
Well, the problem is that everybody tradition. Has a different interpretation of the unwritten
rule. That's
rule.
Why someone needs to write it. So we are. It's kind of like the pass interference penalty within the NFL. Finally, just write it down.
Yeah, but everyone's got their own
interpretation.
Yes.
Yeah, but let me ask you
that's
this, though.
That's the problem.
Do you know how NBA players, they not only slam dunk right now, but they have a little extra at the end of it, okay, because they want to. They have their own little thing to it. What is wrong with pimping home runs, and then after you hit the home run, you know it's a home run, you do whatever. You little dancer, you do whatever you want.
You,
want
you don't see guys in the
that's
court?
Great. Huh?
You don't see the guys in the basketball court? If someone dunks on you, have issues with the celebration?
Well, then stop them the next time.
No, I'm just saying.
Don't let them dunk
actually,
but
no,
still,
I don't.
But there are sometimes,
I don't see
no, there's sometimes there's, they have words back and forth, and they're yelling at each
okay.
other, just like you do here.
You yeah, but it's yelling at each other. You hang on the rim.
But it's
yeah, but, hang, but you know, just you know, you can't hang on the rim, but you slam
why?
Somebody's
you can,
face.
You can. To
you stand
yourself.
And you and
listen,
you, yeah, and you stare at
them. I'm for all of it, okay? I'm for celebrating. I'm also for, if a pitcher doesn't like it, putting it in his ass.
Okay.
That's fine, too.
I'm for that. Bring back your contact.
Saying,
make it a contact
I'm,
sport.
I'm fine. And
I'm
don't try to cut that either, by the way. But I'm just saying.
That's, we've
fine.
Already asked for it.
I'm fine.
Thank you, Ryan.
For Stroman doing what he does on the mound. And if Mookie takes him deep to strip naked and run around a basis.
Hey, listen,
to show him up. I don't care. And then if Stroman has a problem with that. Then if he wants to come out inside on him and knock him down, I'm fine with that.
See, I forgot about the last game that they had, and you brought it up. So you allowed Marcus Stroman to leave the mound with a 6-0 lead. Whose fault's that? Especially after you were all bitching about him the last time he faced you. That's on you.
Well, that's more of a disappointment in that your team didn't show up against this guy. That's all. You know, this should be if you're pissed about the night before or whatever, when you show up there on Sunday and you know the Stro show's on the mound, you just thought there'd be a little extra something.
You know,
and it was actually the opposite.
That whole what is it, who was the was it it's Bumgarner for
yeah.
the Giants
and Muncy.
And Muncy.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
That was beautiful.
Muncy hits a home run, go and then Bumgarner starts pointing and hollering because he's kind of like grandstanding. And then Muncy goes back and says, get it out of the ocean.
If you want the ball.
Go, if you want it, go get it. Go get it out of the ocean. It's priceless. And Bumgarner can do nothing about it.
And no, and I agree because they faced each other, I think, afterwards, a week, whatever it was later. And I saw a quote from like Bochy, an interview with Bochy. And they asked him about it. He's like, ah, that's fine. It's just because he wore the T-shirt for BP. If you don't like it, go get the ball out of the ocean.
Yeah,
Muncy,
man, I just responded back. You know, if you don't want me to watch the ball, you can go get it out of the ocean.
Yeah, so they had T-shirts, and they were wearing it for BP. And then Bochy's like, listen, hey, you know, whatever, it's just a T-shirt, it's no big deal. But I hope he understands that maybe Bumgarner won't like it.
See, baseball needs more of that, don't
Which
they?
Which is fine.
They need more of the hatred. They need more of a week later, you face the guy. I want to watch the game because I don't know what Bumgarner is going to do, right?
Yes.
That's what you want. And we're trying to discourage it from being, you know, used in the game of baseball. I think we're crazy.
You know what's
we'll see more of it.
I know we're taking a break real quick, but
we
you
are,
know
very
what?
Good.
You know what today marks?
Clock.
You know what today marks?
Today's Monday.
Today is Monday, but yep. It is also the 24th of June.
Yes.
A month from now.
Yep.
Guess what's going to be opening?
Patriots.
Camp.
Patriots
no,
camp. 21st, well, the 21st
actually.
Is for the rookies, but the right. 24th right. is when all the boys come back into
yeah.
town. And then life can start all
so
over again.
So how do we get to between now?
We can start all over again.
How do we get to between now and the 24th
I don't know. It's a really
July.
Difficult time for me.
Well, why don't you
that
work
whole
on
month,
why don't you figure
that whole
out?
Month, we, you know what we do? We rag on Chris Sims.
Huh?
We take Chris Sims and we kind of take him behind the woodshed and just kind of smack him around a little because the guy can't stop chirping.
We'll get to Chris Sims. He is not letting up apparently on his whole campaign now that Tom Brady is the 9th best quarterback in the National Football League. Kurt Warner responded. He'll respond even more when he joins us on the show tomorrow. But we'll give you the latest here on Chris Sims since his appearance on this very program from Friday. Coming up
I'm next. Also for, if a pitcher doesn't like it, putting it in his ass.
Okay.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
But the New England system is special. It's better than any system we've ever seen.
Why is that,
though? Come on, Matt Castle didn't even play college football. In his first year in the NFL, he went 11-5. Jimmy Garoppolo never played a game in the NFL. His first game, he went in there, and we went, damn, he's real good. His second game, we go, holy cow, it's a quarter and a half, and he's thrown three touchdowns, and he's on his way to score the fourth. And then the next week, they win with Jacoby Brissett, who's never done anything and couldn't even throw. And
was more Buffalo's fault.
So, sure, whatever. But, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away with Tom Brady talking about the system or anything like that. I was just trying to more make the point of, hey, listen, he's still awesome. I mean, I still expect you guys to win the Super Bowl.
It's ridiculous. You can't win the Super Bowl with a ninth-ranked quarterback. You know that, Chris Sims. That's from Chris Sims' appearance right here on OMF on Friday. He's doing the same thing that a lot of people have done over the years. And here's the problem with it. It's more like 2001, 2002. Tom Brady was a system quarterback because they were trying to figure out exactly what he could do, what his ceiling was back in 2001. So there were limitations. There are no limitations right now, but every team has a freaking system.
He brings up the argument that a lot of people do, right? Matt Castle, 11-5.
Yep.
The team was also 16-0 the year before.
So that was a huge drop-off, and Lou...
Very talented team.
Right, they had an easy schedule, and they couldn't win on the road.
Right.
Yeah, but look at his numbers. Look at Matt Castle's numbers. Matt Castle wasn't the reason why they were winning games.
Well, I was just going to bring up Jacoby Brissett in what he talked about. Because in that game that he came and started against Houston, remember they won 27-0?
Oh, that was Houston.
20-0?
27-0 they won.
27-0.
Yeah, he threw for 103 yards. So
the system, though.
Wasn't that like special teams? Didn't they have two special teams touchdowns?
Yeah, Houston flat out just peed down their leg. Right. And Buffalo the next week
was the
one that beat them. They lost
16-0.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything.
And they had that
team.
He had that one long run where there was a quarterback bootleg that he ended up scoring on. One big play. But after that, it was mistake after mistake after mistake by Houston. And, oh, by the way, who was their quarterback that day? Houston's quarterback. I'm not sure if it was Deshaun or not, but rookie.
No.
Who was it? Was it
Deshaun? That was 2016.
Okay, yeah. Because their quarterback situation was. Oh, was it Osweiler?
Osweiler.
Okay.
Yes.
Give me a. I remember this game.
$16 million.
Because I remember the year before. Because you have Osweiler coming in, you think you're going to have. He couldn't do anything.
No.
They couldn't throw, so they got a quick lead. Houston made a bunch of mistakes, and they just sat on it. And they. It was so much that the. Who was it? Like the quarterback coach's assistant got a game ball for working with Jacoby Brissett for a week. It's not the case. So, and I hate this whole thing about the system quarterback. System quarterback is the same to me as game manager. Like a quarterback is supposed to be a game manager. Oh, he's just well. If they're winning, he's a pretty damn good game manager. A system quarterback. I've heard every single show. Throughout the day, talk about a system quarterback, bringing up a bunch of different stats, explaining this to Chris Sims, who should know what it means.
I'm convinced.
How can he be so disrespectful and just say, you know what, he's great, he's got a great arm, but you know, it's a system. It's a system, but, you know. I mean, you gotta dock him some points for being in this system
because he's being disingenuous. He has a hair across his ass for Tom Brady. He denied it when we brought it up to him. He said he hasn't communicated with Brady since 2012.
He won't return my phone calls.
Yeah, the last time he was here. But on the other hand, no, he doesn't have a problem with Tom Brady at all. I'm convinced he does. I'm convinced something happened when he was here as an assistant. Maybe Brady didn't give him the true respect. Maybe Brady thought, oh, Bill's just doing Phil Sims a favor here and bringing in his son to work with us because he doesn't know squat.
Hey,
there's something.
You want some candy?
Exactly. There's something there. I thought it was interesting that Mike Florio, he kind of distanced himself from this whole Sims placement of Brady being number nine on the list. But he also, in the same sentence, was basically saying, well, but Chris Sims means it. He means it. This is not any disrespect that he's throwing to Brady.
The argument,
he means
it. I said this to him then. Like, they ran the ball more last year, right, because of Tom. Because he threw the ball 11 times less last year than he did the year before when he won the MVP.
Right.
11 times.
That's not a lot.
They played 16 games. Less than one pass per game. And they ran the ball 30 more times than they did the previous year. All right, so two more. I'll give it two more. So they threw the ball one less and ran the ball two more per game on average. And to your point, it was for a while, for the first four games, They didn't even have a running back. You know, they had, what's his name? Cordarrelle Patterson was running. It was just whatever it takes to win. But to say that the Patriots changed their offense last year to a more running attack because they ran the ball twice, two more times a game, and threw the ball less than one, less time a game, is ridiculous.
Yeah, and Florio's saying, oh, yeah, but he means it. So, okay, what does that mean? If Chris Sims really believes it, how much credibility can you honestly give him?
Well, it's even worse if he really thinks it.
Yeah. You know me, I watch a ton of football and do all that.
Okay, here's the thing. So what is he looking at? Because if he's looking, because I would like to say, I would love to be the first one to identify when Brady loses it. I would love to say, okay, I saw a hitch in his step.
No, you're
a hockey
insider.
I'm switching gears. It's almost time for me to switch gears to a football insider. I would love to be able to say, hey, I identified something that's going on with him, and then watch everybody figure it out as the season goes along. There's nothing there. Okay, and he talks about his arm strength. It's like, all right, I'm not going to give him credit for being a good quarterback, but I'm going to talk about how strong his arm is. Go ahead, let me hear this one.
So, again, I'm not bagging on Tom Brady. Systems, I know a lot of quarterbacks have had systems. I'm not about that. I understand the greatness of Brady, and his arm is phenomenal. He doesn't get the credit all-time-wise for how great his physical attributes are, because he does have an all-time great arm. I mean, he can throw missiles, and there's that aspect of it, Mike, too.
Okay, that's the other thing. So he somehow keeps deferring to, hey, he's physically gifted. His physical attributes, he's not physically gifted. He's got a great mind. He's got a good arm, but he doesn't have a missile. You know who had a missile and he couldn't do anything in the NFL? Let me see. Rohan Davey had a missile.
He did.
Ryan Mallett had a gun. Couldn't throw the football into the ocean if he was throwing it out of a boat.
Tom has a noodle arm.
It's just so disingenuous. It's so disrespectful because Brady makes up for so many things: play calling, inferior weapons, bad situations that the coaches put them in, the defense puts them in. So he just can't admit it. So how much credibility can you really give Chris Sims for his analysis? But he means it. How can you do it when he has Cam Newton ahead of Drew Brees and Tom Brady?
That is because
I think his reasoning was
something about like when Cam is under center, you got to worry about him running the football too.
Right. Oh, so it's a run pass option. He may run it on you.
Yeah, I don't know.
So Tom Brady doesn't have the running ability, but I would debate and argue anybody that when it comes to mobility within that 20x20 square right behind the center, he's pretty damn good.
If you went around to the 32 teams in football and said, all right, give me a list of quarterbacks that you would want to lead your team this year. How far down is Tom?
What are you talking about? He said he had coaches
that were calling him, telling him that he was right on. You think there's teams that are sitting there putting Tom Brady as their ninth? They would rather have this guy, eight guys ahead of him?
No, I think
maybe two or three. Maybe?
Yeah.
You know, but eight? No, it's impossible.
Yeah, He's got an agenda, guys. Even if
some coaches did reach out to him, what are we talking about? Position coaches, friends of his,
Andy Reid,
that are angry, and how smart are they? Just because you're a coach in the NFL doesn't mean you're good at your job, and just because you're on NBC doesn't mean you're good at analyzing quarterbacks. Okay, so and maybe it's an insecurity thing with him. Maybe he's just somehow jealous.
Go look it up. I can tell you this because we've debated this with Chris Sims for how many years now. I think he did the same thing where they were reading all-time quarterbacks, and when everybody after the last couple of Super Bowl rings finally said Tom Brady is the GOAT, and he went against it. He argued the point. No, he's not the best of all time. No, not.
You know who his best of all-time quarterbacks are? He said this, and he means it, I'm assuming, because he said it out loud. His all-time quarterbacks are John Elway and Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I will have a debate with you.
Sure, is Eli three or four?
You want to talk about John Elway? Fine. Aaron Rodgers?
Come on.
So is it your favorite quarterback or the best quarterback? Because if you ask me what my favorite quarterback
most
growing up was, I would say Vince Ferragamo. I would say Vince from the LA Rams.
Yeah. Fernando Valenzuela.
I would say the Dodgers, different team. But I would say him. You'd probably say
Ryan
Stan
Fitzpatrick.
Brock.
It's magic. I mean, honestly, watching that guy run around.
We're talking about our favorite quarterbacks growing up.
But don't you think this stems from something that happened back in 2012? He has not communicated any single conversation with Tom Brady. He's supposedly an insider. He's around the National Football League. Hasn't had a conversation with Brady since 2012. Something had to happen where he just doesn't have great respect for Brady. Has to be. You can't be this diligent and constantly every time you're tearing this guy apart. There's one thing about sitting there and saying he's not number one anymore. He's three or four. Okay, we can buy that. He's up there in age. He's 42. What would you expect? You wouldn't expect him to be number one. But you drop him down at number nine? Come on. And you do this continuously?
You can't take him serious. You can't.
No, that's a problem.
So you want credibility. You want people to take you seriously? Well, then do a better job of evaluating the talent.
So he took shots at Kurt Warner. Do we have that where he took the shot at Kurt Warner? Okay, we'll do it on the other side. And Kurt Warner's going to join us on the show tomorrow. The only problem with Kurt Warner.
Well, Kurt clapped back, too.
No, Kurt.
He did.
But no, on Twitter, yeah. He said it was stupid.
The problem with Kurt is he's too nice a guy.
And he's
going to sit there, and it's going to be one of those, you know, let's agree to disagree, one of those things. I hate those people, by the way, that say that. I hate to do, you know.
I hate to be mean, but.
Can we disagree just to agree to disagree? No. I want you to scream and yell.
Thoughts and prayers, everybody.
This hour brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
So when you see guys like Kurt Warner doing the very same list and having Tom Brady number one and almost mocking you for your just inability to see it or for what it is, like, how do you feel about that?
Part-time analyst Kurt Warner, the troll. Oh, no. Like, I don't care what Kurt Warner says.
But don't you think...
I'm way deeper in the weeds on all these subjects than Kurt Warner. I think he's taking the easy way out. I'm saying it right there. Yes, I am. But, you know, I've seen him on the NFL channel like once in the last 50 days. You know, I'm there every day grinding, telling you everything about football.
Wow, grinding it out.
Last 50 days, I don't think there have been a lot of NFL games.
Wow. There's really no reason to get your number one out on some random day in June.
Nah, probably
not. That's why they're doing a list. Here's what you're going to get from the NFL Network in the next month. List, coulda, shouldas, top running backs, top defenses.
Have you seen them? They're so boring.
How about this one? A coach that's on the hot seat.
Right.
A best newcomer.
No, wins and losses.
Best rookie to be.
You see the wins and losses? They go through the entire schedule.
Yeah. Chris seems to be 2012 AFC championship game on the other day.
Chris seems to be like, you know, taking his shot because apparently, you know, when the season ends, Kurt Warner in the last couple of months has forgotten what he's seen. Right? It doesn't, because he hasn't worked every day. Like, he doesn't know what he saw last year. Or he missed
the OTAs. He missed the, you know, the...
Really?
Yeah, he missed... Brady didn't, you know, he missed the, you know, those practices, those two practices that Brady had. When he was, he was great. He had a high percentage in practice, too. Completed 85, 90% of his passes.
You know, I'm there every day, grinding, telling you everything about football.
So we'll talk to Kurt Warner tomorrow, which is interesting. He's coming out of hibernation.
He is.
On the 53rd day.
He's probably on vacation.
Yeah, he's coming out of hibernation.
Somebody shamed him to come out of hibernation. Yep. Hey, you got to explain
he's
yourself.
He's probably pissed.
Coming on the program tomorrow.
Work. He wanted to have the next couple months. He wanted to run that thing up to about, 80 days, 120,
see,
110 days.
But you're right, though. He's not going to say anything negative about Chris.
No, he won't.
But here's the thing.
He really is a good guy.
But, okay, fine. I think he is. I know he is also. But he basically, Chris Sims just basically said that Kurt Warner was lazy and dumb.
He did.
Here's a guy that Super Bowl champ, unbelievable career, Hall of Famer, called him lazy and dumb, that he doesn't take his job serious.
So you
I
have
think he's taking the easy way out. I'm saying it right there. Yes, I am.
So the easy way out is just, is it just because it's the obvious choice? Like, Chris Sims is making it too difficult.
I think you should
he's trying too hard tomorrow. Oh, why would I not? Why do you think Kurt Warner's coming on?
It's interesting when you think about it. Kurt Warner would have some incentive to trash Tom Brady because Tom Brady prevented him from getting another championship ring, right?
It's all his fault.
Okay.
Well, he didn't play defense.
Okay, but what did Sims ever do? I mean, Sims can go through life saying he was drafted three rounds ahead of Tom Brady. Can always say that, right?
Should have been better.
Now, he didn't play.
That's
in the
my
league.
Team.
He didn't play. But he was drafted three rounds ahead of Tom Brady.
So I do think Kurt Warner will have a little bit of attitude towards him.
We're deeper in the weeds on all these subjects than Kurt Warner.
He went after him on Twitter.
Like Kurt did.
Yeah. No, he said, I think at some point, this is a joke, whatever. And Sims went back and, basically he said, like, he didn't, 50 days. Like, Sims made a comment. So Warner fired back on Twitter. So, I don't think he enjoyed him. Firing at him Twitter and knocking him down because he hasn't been working.
Is there any way we can somehow get both those guys on the phone at the same time and have them? Can Kurt call up and then somehow we call Sims and just have Sims on hold, and then just say, oh my God, oh, Chris Sims is on the line.
We can do that.
Sims, you want to say anything to Kurt?
How good your Chris Sims impression? Maybe you can go to the other room and make a phone call.
I could try. I don't know if Kurt Warner's going to really recognize Chris Sims' voice, is he?
So we'll do that tomorrow. We'll pick up on that debate tomorrow. I'm trying to figure this out because I've heard that the Edelman documentary is on Friday night on Showtime, right? Friday night, this Friday night, 9
set
o'clock, I believe. I got my calendar. I've got my DVR already set with it.
Why Friday?
I have no idea. Why is it on Friday?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is there a better day to release something like that? I wouldn't even know.
Well, are you going
to
get any kind of response? If you're the marketing guy putting this thing together, do you want to drop it on a Friday so what, talk shows or people can write about it on Saturday?
That's true, because usually you would sit there and...
Do it Monday night.
If it's like a Friday news dump. All the crappy news,
especially in 4th of July week coming up.
Wednesday
right?
night.
Yeah. It is a dump off.
Thursday
right.
night.
So
it's a dump off.
So maybe it's bad. Maybe it's not very good.
Yeah.
Maybe they realize, oh, no, this isn't very good. We should do it on a Friday.
I don't know. Did we check?
Has anybody seen Wes
Welker's documentary on Monday? Are we missing something in the schedule? But have you heard that that Kyrie Irving is presently filming a documentary right now in Japan?
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
In Japan.
That's going to make me want to just throw up.
He's getting some heat from people back in Cleveland. They're writing about it. So he's putting Instagram stuff out, a lot of pictures, a lot of obviously, melding into the culture over there in Japan. How about this one? Ego has no room between you and me. We are one. I am.
Come on. What a dope.
Who's it directed towards? Is it Tatum or is it...
give it to me again. Okay, hold on. Wait.
Ego.
Ego. Igo.
Has no room.
Wait, is it ego or ergo? Igo?
Ego.
Ego.
Ego has no room between you and me. We are one. I am.
Oh, God.
I think it's better in a whisper.
Is that a haiku?
I have no idea.
That sounds like a haiku.
He's melding himself right into the culture.
The culture,
he's into the culture.
I'm telling you, it is going to... My prediction is going to come true. When he signs another team, they're going to do some sit-down. It is going to be just vomit-inducing.
No,
it's
he's going to speak in code.
All sort of that stuff. It's going to be about journey and life. And
like, everything's going to have a meaning.
Yes.
So, because Danny Ainge had one. Danny Ainge had a couple, a couple messages that he was sending. Because all the rookies showed up today.
That was fun watching the four rookies today.
They all look like they're
kids.
15.
Except, did you watch the NHL draft over the weekend?
Of course
those kids
did.
Look
those
like actual
kids.
Those kids are really kids.
Well, they're really kids.
I mean, they're kids that get up there and they go up to the podium and they're like 12 or 13 years old. But Danny Ainge today, talking about, there's one thing about having great players. There's another thing about having good people.
I think it just makes life more enjoyable when everybody is humble, hardworking, and will play any role that they have to help a team succeed. You do have to have a certain amount of talent to win in our league, as we all know. But good people makes coming to work more fun.
Ego has no room between you and me. We are one.
So is this going to be a dueling cryptic code message between Danny Ainge and Kyrie Irving?
What do we think?
Are they going to go back and forth?
What is Danny talking about?
Kyrie, well, you think he's only talking about Kyrie Irving though?
No, but I think
he could be talking about a bunch of guys or the entire just vibe of that locker room. He could be talking about Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier. It's another one.
He could be talking about Jaylen Brown.
Sure.
Marcus Morris.
Who knows?
He could be talking about a bunch of people. Kyrie Irving?
He's not talking about Kyrie.
Of course.
Garson Yabusele?
No.
You think that message is just directed? I think Kyrie Irving is in his crosshairs.
It was a lot better the last few years when we just had a bunch of kids that were willing to accept their role, including the kid that we turned into a superstar in Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
Yep.
That was more fun.
Playing hurt, playing injured, playing with a broken jaw.
He's the one that traded him away.
And the goal was to win. And then I sold my soul and brought the talent in here. And it turns out that he just broke my team apart.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for. Yes. That's basically what you're saying.
You know what?
You rather have a bunch of gritty, overachieving non-stars than a couple big-time superstars that have no business being a teammate. Like, they just don't, they don't want to do the teammate thing.
Makes going to work easier.
Yeah, because you know what? I want to walk into the building in a good mood.
I'm going through these Instagram stuff. This is a guy.
Is this all Kyrie stuff?
All Kyrie stuff. This guy is, you know, esoteric. He thinks he's above it all. You know? And you're right. When he finally addresses, whether it's at the podium in Brooklyn or New York or L.A., he's going to sit and he's going to address all of this stuff. And it's going to be a bunch of bull.
I feel like there's a simpler way that you can ask that question.
He'll talk about culture. Culture here in Brooklyn, it's so significantly different, and it completes my world. He will say stupid ass stuff like
that. Because he's dumb. How about dumb people? They like to sit there and talk in deep, cryptic, mystical ways. So, because God forbid they just say what's on their mind and hold themselves accountable for it, they somehow have to just send you a weird message, and then you decipher it on your own.
The more you figure it out on your own, the more okay you get with trying to get away with it.
See, that's very clear and direct. That makes sense.
That's deep.
But that makes sense. It's very clear. You can understand it.
But here's
what I'm talking about. This clown that's going to send messages to whoever.
He thinks he's above you.
He thinks he's smarter than you.
He thinks he's above his teammates. He thinks he's above everybody. He thinks he's smarter than anyone.
I'm sorry. Anybody that thinks the world is flat, and I'm sorry, he said it too many times to the point where it wasn't a joke. He went out of his way in long conversations, long interviews, to present his point. I watched Apollo 11 last night on CNN. I don't know if you've seen the documentary. Very, very well done. And all actual footage.
Is he right?
He's wrong.
He's wrong?
He's wrong. Trust me, he's wrong.
Grant Williams told us he was wrong. Grant Williams is brilliant compared to NASA's rocket scientist.
Mom works for NASA. She's showing photos of the Earth.
He's wrong.
And he's like, okay, yeah, I get it.
But here's what's got it. Here's,
you know, and for me, it's not about whether the world is flat, whether the world is round.
So here's the thing that must really piss Danny Ainge off to no end. And he did it again the other day. And I know he's got to be sitting there going, I can't believe I'm doing this. He came out and made excuses again for Kyrie Irving. You know, people shouldn't be pointing a finger at him. He's not the main reason. It's not all his fault. How many times did he make excuses and the Boston Celtics make excuses for Kyrie Irving? How about the All-Star game where Kyrie wanted to play? He didn't play the two games leading into the All-Star game. How many times did they sit there and let him take nights off, which he wanted to take off against bad teams because they know they could win those games?
See, that was back in, we were still, you know, hoping that he would stay mode.
Well, why did he do it the other day?
Right? I'm just saying, like, you know, I want to play in the All-Star game. I want to go there and see my buddies. Okay, Kyrie, whatever you want. Are we still on? Are we still getting married? Are we still engaged? Whatever you'd like, that's fine. But when you think about it, it was kind of, you know, he missed the last couple of games or whatever it was, two or three, was it? And then he goes and plays in the All-Star game. I know it was a little scrimmage, but that you got to admit, that was still, we're still trying to recruit you.
Yeah, but think about it, though. What his motives were, when you really go back and look at everything he's done, what were his real motives? Was it because it was a real important thing for him? Did he purposely miss the last two games before the All-Star game because
he wanted to play in the All-Star game?
But why?
To see Kevin Durant.
Exactly. He wanted to further...
It's also his brand. His brand.
No,
too.
But I think more importantly, I have to be out there and recruit. I need one-on-one time with these guys. I need to be in there, in the locker room with them.
Well, he was going to be there anyway, but why play in the game?
No, but it's different. I think it's a different mode. So he had to make sure he was healthy. I don't trust any of his motives. Anyway, I actually don't trust anything that he says because the motives in the end become obvious when you go back and look at it. Even to the news that we were talking about a couple weeks ago, why he didn't play while he didn't even show up for the last game against the Cleveland Cavaliers and that game seven. The excuse was that he had some surgery that he had planned. It's the last game.
Nobody schedules a surgery.
Nobody
for
does
game
that.
Seven.
You got to be on the who does that?
His nose wasn't
looking
good.
So they come every single day. They just sit there and they do whatever he wants. They just comply. What do you need? What do you want to do? What's going to make you happy? What's going to make you feel comfortable? What do you need?
Yeah, but you tell me why Danny Ainge today is making that that comment.
Because it's not over yet.
And yet, right. No. The comment he's making today about...
Because maybe he found out that it is.
About good players or whatever.
Maybe he found out that it is the last day
or two. Okay, so the whole thing blows up with Kevin Durant, and they can't get him to Brooklyn. And Brooklyn sits there and says to Kyrie, hey, sorry, if you can't bring KD with you, we don't just want you. That's not going to help our team. We're going to be exactly in the same position we were in last year. We're going to stick with Russell. I'll guarantee if Kyrie calls Danny Ainge back in the next couple days, Danny picks up the phone, and Danny says, okay, no problem, 5 years, $180 million or whatever, they will sign him again. They will, because as much as Danny can sit there and talk about, you know, ego and about the, you know, the good of the team and whatever, you need these superstars.
Makes coming to work more fun.
You need the superstars. You don't win. Danny knows it. You don't win. I'm sorry. Danny was a terrific player. But if you don't have Larry Bird, you don't have Kevin McHale, you don't have championship rings, Danny.
I'm not so sure about that. Only because if...
But Danny wouldn't take him back.
Well,
right
No, I know we talked about this the other day, but if you bring Kyrie back, you're bringing back the same team. You know, it's not a different look. AD's not coming. You know, Anthony Davis was coming. Okay, but you want to bring him back into this environment with basically the same team without Al Horford.
Yes. I think Danny would do it in a heartbeat.
Well, I just don't think it would
it's
ever...
It's an asset.
It would ever work.
But it's an asset.
It would probably set yourself back a few years with some of these kids.
They're setting back anyway.
Oh, I know that.
So why not
bring... make it even worse.
But why not bring him in, and worst case scenario, you might find another player willing to come here next year that'll play with Kyrie. If not, you deal Kyrie at that point. Maybe next year, Durant's willing to go to Brooklyn, and then you can trade him to Brooklyn. You have an asset. Danny can say all he wants with that stuff, and it all sounds great.
But I'm just saying, what you hear from him lately, it's almost, you know, you're hoping Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum take it to the next level. Maybe you bring back Terry Rozier. I don't know. But those are your assets. So if bringing back Kyrie, Tatum doesn't become himself. Jaylen Brown doesn't, because they just hate each other. Now what have you done? You got Kyrie back here, but the two kids you're relying on have taken a step backwards because they don't want to play with this kid anymore. Now where are you? I'm just saying, you got the same team coming back here. No Aaron Baines, no Al Horford. What are you going to do? What are you going to do for a team? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you going to be any good?
No, but they're going to be hard workers.
You want to be miserable and go to work, like you just said about egos?
What about your boy Nikola Vucevic?
But here's the thing. The thing is that
Voinovich.
That's the new white whale, by the way, for the Boston Celtics.
Nikola Vucevic.
You know, I told you guys this a while ago.
Right.
Some guys, we started, who's to blame? We were playing doing the whole blame pie game. Like, Brad Stevens should have been able to manage these personalities better.
Blame Lou Malone.
Some guys, it doesn't matter how good you are at managing personalities or, you know, setting the tempo or setting directives, sending a message, because it doesn't matter. If a guy has made his mind up that he wants nothing to do with it and he's going to be as combative and as difficult as possible, then it doesn't matter what you do, how you say it, or how many times you compromise with him. He doesn't care.
It's called the NBA.
I know, but there's a lot of stars
that... Look at LeBron and his movement from Cleveland to Miami.
No, it's less about that. Okay. But you're talking about movement. I'm talking once they're in your building. Once they're in your building and you have a coach that is supposed to manage and coach these guys, some guys, it doesn't matter. They're not going to allow themselves to be coached by you. They have their own way of doing things. So do you really, after all this stuff, do you blame Brad Stevens at all for Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, I blame him a little bit in that I think that he didn't take control of this.
It's uncontrollable from
the get-go.
No, he's not going anywhere. Kyrie Irving wasn't leaving your team. So what do you want? Hey, Kyrie, we really need you to play tough. We really need you to do this. No. Yeah. Sometimes he'll say yes when things are going good. But when they're not and you don't give him the final shot with 1 second left, he's going to be pissed.
Again, I repeated it a zillion times. NBA coaches are vastly overrated. in the success or failure
of
Nick
Nurse, though. There's a guy that, his players. He turned it all around.
There you go.
Kawhi Leonard? Couldn't manage it in San Antonio.
But it's overrated. It really is. And unfortunately, the star players know it. And so a guy like Kyrie Irving, if suddenly they're having practice and Brad's constantly working on a certain system in which they're moving the ball, Kyrie's sitting there going, no. If I have a one-on-one in this situation, I can take the guy off the dribble. Screw you. I'm not going to go along with it. That's what you have. The great players take over the game, and too many times they ignore the coach. There's more in this whole rift between Danny Ainge and Kyrie Irving, and there's another big story out there about, a couple of them. One, with Kawhi Leonard leaning toward staying in Toronto, which might be the worst-case scenario for your Boston Celtics, and another one where Kevin Durant is pissed off at the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, no. Who's he blaming for his injury now?
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.